Okay, good morning, OA family. My name is Dawn. I am a compulsive eater and restrictor. I can throw in exercise bulimic in there. So I don't exercise, which makes me feel sad, but it triggers my eating when I work out on a regular basis. So I don't. Wow, I didn't prepare for this. Well, it was hard to because Janet asked me last night, and I was like, "Oh, wow." Let me gonna tell you first off, I have to be at work. I'm in Central Time Zone, so it's 6:10 right now. I have to be at work at 7 o'clock, so I will be leaving the meeting early. So please don't think I'm rude. I'm just gonna I have to walk my dogs and then get out of here pretty quickly. But I have learned in OA when you are asked to be of service, that is what we do because it keeps us sober. And my sobriety in OA is, and I use that term rather than abstinence because my sobriety is my recovery. Abstinence just to me has to do with the food, and the food isn't as important as my relationship with God, and that is my recovery. So that's just my story, and I don't even know how OA feels about that, but that is how I look at my recovery. So I'm going to start at the beginning. And my story is a winding road, and it's intermixed with a lot of things. I have bipolar 2 disorder, so I don't know what came first in my life, my mental health issues or my eating issues. I was raised in a family that rewarded with sugar and punished by taking it away. So I was getting it if I was good. If I cried, oftentimes they would put a cookie in my hand or a cracker or a popsicle or something to get me to stop crying. So food, I was conditioned from a very early age that food was the answer. Whatever my problem was, food would be the solution. And as we know now, food is a symptom. It is not a solution, but I didn't know that. I was in my 50s before I came to know this. So I have a lot of, as I said, my story is twisty and turny. When I was two, my dad, I was born in Pennsylvania and to a workaholic, bipolar father and a drunk mother. And they split up when I was two, and my dad moved across country to California. And in a couple years, my mother decided to join him. So we traveled to California. And within 6 months, my mother had abandoned the family and gone off with somebody else, never to be, well, I can't say never to be heard from again. She came back when I was 26, but she left when I was four, and nobody heard from her during those following years. And so, in addition to my early onset eating problems, I had abandonment issues. I didn't really know who God was, but what I thought of God was this mean, punishing man that sat up in the clouds throwing lightning bolts down on me to see if I would dance around to his tune. He would test me and set me up to fail just so that he could thunk me on the head and tell me how much he hated me. And that is how I grew up. I started acting out. My father remarried when I was 12, and I didn't know how to handle that. I started acting out with drugs, alcohol, and sex, and started running away from home. And at this point, I guess is where the restriction came in because I didn't eat a lot. I was drinking, and I was doing drugs, and I was messing around with boys, and food didn't come into it because I was doing all those other things. And I don't know if you are an overeater of my type, but I can control my eating if I'm doing other things. The big book tells us we can stop for a while, but we always fall back in, and that is how it is for me. If I stop eating, I'm going to drink. Or if I stop, if I'm dieting, I'm going to fall into books. I am somebody who can take anything and make it abnormal. And I even do that with reading and TV, binging TV shows and whatever, anything to alter my reality, to numb and deafen the sound of the self-hatred that I have and the fact that I'm missing God in my life because I'm trying to be God and do things. Anyways, fast forward, I dropped out of school in ninth grade. I ran away from home. I never lived at home again with my father on a regular basis after my 14th birthday. I was in and out of group homes. And the one thing that was consistent for me is I thought that if I could just get married and just have kids, my life would be perfect because then I would have somebody that would love me all of the time, no matter what. My children would love me. And so when I was 19, I had my first child. And to say that, I say she is what changed my life because she was the first person that made me think outside myself. Unfortunately, my disease, I was so self-absorbed, and with my undiagnosed bipolar, I was a raging lunatic. I don't use that word lightly, and I don't mean it to be a slight in any way, shape, or form, but I was. I lived in insanity. I was violent towards my daughter. I was, and a few years later, when I had my other three children in quick succession, I was violent towards them. When I wasn't violent, I was hermiting myself away in my room, eating and reading and not coming out. There was a period in my life for 6 months that I didn't leave my room. My husband would bring food into the room. My daughter would parent my other children. It was probably the darkest time of my life because I was failing at the only goal I had ever set up for myself, which was to be a parent and to be a loving, good parent and to be a mother that I didn't have. And I was failing at that. And the self-hatred was so bad that I ate my way up to over 300 pounds. What shocked me and changed my life was during the time that I was hiding away in my bedroom, my husband was abusing my children, and I didn't know. And my daughter at this point was 14, and she came to me and told me what he was doing to her. She didn't know about our other three kids. And it shocked me. I had to call the police. He went to jail. Not for as long as he should have, but that's a whole other story. But it shocked me into realizing not necessarily what my problem was, but that I had a problem. And I went into therapy and I went into other different programs. But the one thing that I wouldn't do, even when my therapist would say, maybe we ought to look at your relationship, maybe you have a d eating disorder, I would not face my food addiction. I would not. I went into I as I said, I could control it. I stopped eating. I went on, a low carb diet and did this, and I lost all of my extra weight. And I started drinking and I started acting crazy again. And I started working 80 to 100 hours a week and leaving my daughter to raise my kids again. And all of this, I was repeating the cycle. And so I went, what I did was instead of looking at my food, I went into AA and I started learning about recovery. Now, alcohol is not my problem, but I was willing to say it was if you wouldn't take my food. And so I learned to work the steps. Now, I worked them half-heartedly because alcohol wasn't my problem and I knew it wasn't my problem. And so how honest can you be in the steps if you're not working your problem? But it gave me a foundation to go from. But it didn't work, and I gained my weight back. What I did was I moved my kids across country from Nevada to Texas. I went back to school. I got my degrees. I got my AA, BA, and MA in 5 years, and I started doing my dream job, which is teaching at a college. And But my weight ballooned and I was miserably unhappy. I finally got diagnosed as bipolar and I got on meds and that gave me some balance and some rationality. And I realized I had to do something about my weight. Still didn't bring me to OA. I went and I had gastric sleeve surgery in Mexico. And that was in 20 January 2nd, 2017, 2018.
10,
And
10 minutes, Dawn.
thank you. And it worked. I lost every single pound, made goal weight. I was looking good. I was happy. And then I thought, well, I reached goal weight, so now I can eat like a normal person, right? Well, maybe in smaller portions because I surgically reduced my stomach. But I can eat foods that I haven't eaten in years. You know, the dreaded sugar, the flours, the things that following the diet they give you a bariatric surgery really aren't a part of your world. And so I did. I started introducing them back. But the thing that got me was the sugar. I had a candy bowl in my room for my students. And I started taking a piece. You know, you walk past the room and you take a piece. And then you take two pieces. And then you take three pieces. And then I was realizing that I was coming to at my desk with candy wrappers all over my desk, and I couldn't remember how they got there. I couldn't remember eating those 30 pieces of candy or however many they were. And I would just wake up sick and groggy and wondering how the hell I got there. How did this happen? How did I, you know, you get blackouts with alcohol. You don't get blackouts with sugar. You don't get blackouts with food, but I do. And it scared me, and my weight ballooned up 30 pounds in a year, and I couldn't stop eating, and that scared me, and that's what brought me into OA. That is when I realized that I had a problem that was beyond food. And so I came to my first OA meeting a year ago, August. In fact, it'll be on the 27th, it'll be a year that I've been in program. I was willing. I was beaten. I was terrified that I was thinking to myself, all of these years since my surgery, I have been controlling my eating. Why can't I control it now? What is the problem? Why can't I gain that willpower back? Why can't I gain the sense of control? And it wasn't until I got into these rooms and they told me, you don't have control because you're powerless. And it really clicked. You know, I've been hearing that about alcohol for 20 something years. I walked into the rooms of AA in 2001, but it didn't click until I got into OA. It didn't click because I wasn't powerless over alcohol. I'm powerless over food. I have no control when I start in my eating disorder. When I start, I don't stop because I can't. And so what I got, you know, I haven't been abstinent the entire time I'm here. I have 9 months of abstinence going on 10. It took me a few slips, to get it. It took me two sponsors. I had one sponsor that, bless her heart, she got me here and she started me. And it, the I chose her because she was the only person in my area code on the list. But I didn't judge. I hate to use that term, but I didn't look to see if she had what I wanted. And so it wasn't a good fit. I say that to anybody who is new. Interview your sponsors, your sponsor candidates, let them interview you so that you're a good fit because this is one of the most important relationships in your life. The second sponsor I got is a perfect fit for me. We communicate on a daily basis. She's loving and kind, and I hate to say this term because it might put somebody off, but she's strict when I need it. See, God gives her the words to call me back from my bullshit when I need to be called back from my bullshit because I have a lot of it. I have a degree in bullshittery. Excuse my language, but I do. And I can bullshit myself with the best of them. And she calls me on it. And I need that. I started working the steps immediately.
5 minutes, Dawn.
Thank you. Wow, I'm talking a lot. I started working the steps immediately. I've come to a meeting, if not every day, at least every other day. Some days I get two in there, so I count it as every other day. I am of service. I sponsor. I completed the steps, and now I am guiding my sponsees through the steps. I'm of service every opportunity I get. But if I could tell you the one thing that's changed, is I have a God that loves me. OA was my, the fellows of OA were my God until I found a God that loves me. I was able to discard that old man up in the clouds with the lightning bolts that tried, the old joke, Clyde going, God, why God? Why do you make my life so miserable? Why do you smack me with lightning bolts? And God goes, I don't know, Clyde, there's just something about you that pisses me off. That's not my God anymore. My God looks down every day or down. I prefer to think of my God emanates out from me. My God is within me. The spirit that gives me life and breath and thoughts is the spirit of God. And that loving kindness emanates from me and keeps me in the palm of their hand. No longer is my God an angry man, but my God is a non-binary male, female, loving picture, spirit of what is in the world. Whatever that looks like, that is for me. And that is the most important thing. I get up every morning and I get on my knees. When I get to bed at night, I thank them. I give them all the thanks for getting me through the day. When I have a thing that when I look at my watch to see how many steps I have, I connect with God. It's a new thing, so I'm not perfect at it. But I used to have alarms set during the day, but with my job, I can't do it. So I look at my watch to check my steps and I just connect with God. I give God my will. I give God my day and I ask God to lead me through. I ask God every day to make me teachable, humble, kind, and quiet because I am a mouthy person. And I ask God to let me be quiet and listen to their will and listen to those around me so that I can be guided. And I ask to be of service. And one day at a time, that is working to keep me sober. One day at a time, that is helping me keep the food down so that it doesn't talk to me 24/7. And it's giving me a purpose in my life that I never thought I would have. I have a purpose in living. I've made amends. My children love me. The biggest blessing of my life. I was a terrible parent. I was violent and out of control in my mental disorder and my eating disorder. And my children have forgiven me and they love me and I have good relationships with all four of them. I am active in their lives. I am active in the lives of my grandchildren. I have the respect of my colleagues. I have a good life. My sign back here says, I still remember the days that I prayed for everything I have now. That is my life. It's a life of gratitude. It's a life of wonder and miracles, and I'm just grateful. And I hope that I prayed before I started this that I might touch somebody. And I hope I did because this program has given me everything in my life. And the most important thing is it's given me a God that I love beyond measure. And it's given me peace and balance. And I hope that for you.
One
And I
minute,
pray,
one minute.
wow, I really did talk a lot. I pray that for you. And I thank you for letting me share. And I thank you for taking your time to listen to me. And I wish you all a wonderful and healthy day. Thank you.